The Quiz Kids, brought to you by the makers of Alka-Seltzer.
Alka-Seltzer for headaches.
Alka-Seltzer for acid indigestion.
Alka-Seltzer for cold discomfort.
Yes, when these occasional ailments make you miserable, try Alka-Seltzer for really fast, really effective relief.
And now, Quiz Kids, listen carefully. Here's today's first question. Who hopes to whip cream in June?
Yes, there's our first brain teaser this afternoon. And how about it? Do you folks at home know the answer? Well, give it some thought while the youngsters here in our classroom get ready for roll call. And here they are, the Quiz Kids. And now here he is, as spry as the first robin of spring, our genial chief quizzer himself, Joe Kelly.
Thank you, Bob Murphy, and hello, everyone. Welcome to another reading, writing, and arithmetic session in radio's famous classroom of the air. And now let's get right to roll call, kids. First, we have Joel.
I'm Joel Kupperman. I'm 11 years old and departmental.
Patrick.
I'm Patrick Owen Conlon. I'm 10 years old and go to the Fort Dearborn School.
David.
I'm David Freifelder. I'm 12 years old and in 8th grade at West School in Waukegan, Illinois.
And the Quiz Kid who won his original appearance on our program 2 weeks ago by winning the recent Quiz Kids contest conducted by Lions International as representative of the Whiting Club, Dick.
I'm Richard Cravens. I'm 15 years old, and I attend George Rogers Clark High School in Hammond, Indiana.
And I want to report that Lonnie Lundy is absent from school today. His mother sent a note saying he was ill, but nothing serious, so we'll keep his desk for him until next week. Now, can you children answer that first question from Paul C. Marsteller of Los Angeles, California? Who hopes to whip cream in June? Now, it seems to me like little Patrick's hand was up first, but I don't see his hand anymore. What happened, Pat?
Well, I think that it might have to do with horse racing. And some horse hopes to beat a horse called Cream.
Well, I might say that it doesn't in this particular instance. You're on the right track, I might add, though, Patrick. Joel.
Well, I don't know whether it is. This is it, but there's going to be the heavyweight title fight in June.
Well, how do you think that might enter into
well,
the question?
Well, then maybe it'll be Walcott that it wants, huh?
Walcott? Well, now you're getting very warm, Joel. Richard?
Isn't Jersey Joe Walcott's nickname Cream?
That's right. No. Wait a minute. You got me off guard
Joe
there.
Lewis,
Joel?
Well, Lewis's nickname's Cream, or isn't his real name Cream?
No.
So wouldn't it...
No. Say, we certainly are involved on this. What, the name Cream, that's right, Joel?
Well, would it be Walcott's name?
That's right.
Cream?
Arnold...
So then it'd be Joe Lewis that it wanted
that's
to
right.
win.
Arnold Cream is Jersey Joe Walcott's real name. Oh, dear. Well, finally. Well... I'm going to give you a perfect score on that one. Took us a long time. But anyway, we're sending us that question. Alka-Seltzer sends Paul C. Marsteller of Los Angeles, California, a fine Zenith Transoceanic portable radio. That's always the reward when the Quiz Kids answer your question correctly. If they miss, you get a magnificent $250 Zenith radio phonograph combination. So friends, send those questions in. Just send them to Quiz Kids, Chicago. Now, since today is Palm Sunday, children, Annie McMullen of Phillipsburg, Pennsylvania, suggests that you try to name two books of the Bible that begin with each letter in the word palm. Two books beginning with P, two with A, and so on and so on. Richard.
Psalms and Proverbs.
Psalms and Proverbs. That's for the letter P.
Acts, Matthew, and Mark for M.
Well, now, wait a minute. What did you... Acts?
Acts is one, and Leviticus would be for L.
Well, Acts is for A.
A. Leviticus for L.
Leviticus, yeah.
And Matthew and Mark for M.
Matthew and Mark for M. Now, let's see. We have to get one more for A. David?
Well, I have another L. You only named one. Luke.
Luke, all right. That takes care of L. Now, how about A? One more for A. Joel?
Andrew?
No. David?
Amos.
Amos, that takes care of very, very nicely. Mm-hmm. This music question is from Mrs. Gwen Inselberger of Clearfield, Utah. If you were shipwrecked on the island suggested by each of these songs, what country would be the nearest? Get 2 out of 3 on this, and here's number one. Patrick.
That's Pony Boy, isn't it?
That's Pony Boy,
sure. No, that'd be the Shetland Islands.
The Shetland Islands? And what country?
I'm not sure what would be the closest to that.
You're not? All right, well, let's see. We have some other hands up, David.
Well, I think there are 2 Shetland Islands. One in the north would be near Scotland. There's one in the southern hemisphere that's near Argentina.
Well, the one that you gave us near Scotland is the one that I wanted to hear. Yeah, that's absolutely right. Scotland is the closest country to the Shetland Islands. Now, see if you can get this next one. Patrick.
Well, she's only a bird in a gilded cage,
that's
and that's
right.
The Canary Islands.
Canary Islands, so...
The Canary Islands are near Oh, no,
what country?
I don't remember. Now, I had it.
Wait a minute, let's see. Joel?
Well, Portugal.
No. Richard?
That would be west coast of Africa, off the west coast of Africa, or Spain, either one of the two.
Well, what country? We've got to bring out the name of a certain country in order to complete this. David?
I think it's right. It's closest to the Gold Coast.
Well, no. Joel?
Morocco?
No. French Morocco is the next nearest country, but we want the closest. David again.
I'll just start naming some. It's Gambia and Dahomey, Senegal, and...
Oh, you want to name some more? Go
Rio
ahead.
Rio de Oro.
The what?
Rio de Oro.
That's the one right there. I'll take that one. Yes, sir. That last one was right on the nose. Yes, sir. And now here is our third part. Patrick?
Well, that's you got to get up. I don't know the...
All right. David?
Well, that's the Wake Islands, and they'd be near to Australia in
New
Guinea.
No. What's the nearest country?
Japan.
Indonesia.
No, now, what did you say,
Japan.
David? Japan. That's absolutely right. Right. Well, so far, we're doing all right this afternoon quiz, kids. Of course, friends, as usual, this question session is entirely unrehearsed. The children have no knowledge of the subjects to be discussed before class is called to order.
And that makes the contest really keen. And say, Joe, if you don't mind, I'd like to talk about another kind of contest for a minute. This one has to do with you and the cold you may be suffering from right now, friends. Of course, you're going to put up plenty of fight against that ache in every bone feeling. And here's something that can help keep the odds on your side. It's Alka-Seltzer's ABC Cold Comfort Treatment, and it goes like this. A, Alka-Seltzer. Start taking it at once for that feverish, aching feeling. B, be wise. Be sure to get more rest than usual. Beware of drafts. Eat and dress sensibly. And C, comfort the sore throat caused by your cold by gargling with Alka-Seltzer. Now, you'll never know how effective Alka-Seltzer's ABC cold comfort treatment can be until you try it. So do just that, friends, won't you? Get a 30 or 60 cent size package of Alka-Seltzer from your drugstore and follow the easy directions enclosed. We know you'll agree, Alka-Seltzer can be worth its weight in gold when you're suffering from a cold.
All right, Bob. Now, quiz kids, back to our question.
Joe, yes. Just a minute, Joe. This is presentation time again today. You know the old saying, it never rains, but it pours. Well, that's certainly true when we consider the honors that are being showered on our quizmaster this month. And today, Joe not only receives another award, but he and the Quiz Kids program are greatly honored by having Chicago's first citizen here to make the presentation. And I mean, of course, the Honorable Martin H. Kennelly, Mayor of Chicago.
Thank you, Mr. Murphy. First, I want to say how happy I am to be here on this program with my good friend, Joe Kelly. I don't know whether I've ever told you this or not, Joe, but this Quiz Kids program is one of my favorites. I never miss it if I can help it. We all realize this program makes a splendid contribution to education and helps to build fine citizens for America's future. I think the sponsors of the Quiz Kids are to be congratulated, not only on the program itself, but also on selecting Chicago for the origination of such an excellent network show. I have often wondered why more big network programs do not originate here in Chicago. After all, what has Hollywood and New York got that Chicago hasn't got? So it is with great pleasure, Joe, that I make this award for Radio Mirror Magazine. You have been selected as the nation's favorite quizmaster by the many thousands of listeners who participated in the annual Radio Mirror poll for 1947.
Thank you, Mayor Kennelly. I'm very grateful to Radio Mirror Magazine for this award and to you for presenting it. I only wish I could personally thank every listener in our audience who voted for me. Land sakes, you don't suppose I'll have to go out and buy a bigger hat, do you?
Now, don't worry about that, Joe. There's no danger of that happening to you around here. Now, how about some more questions, Joe?
Questions? Oh, sure, questions. All right, kids, here we go. Miss Edna Cherry of Akron, Ohio, suggests that girls who intend to do their own proposing during this leap year might make their proposals even more interesting if they phrase them in baseball terms. She wants you fellas to give the girls some ideas of what they might say. For instance, a girl might say, I'll go on strike if you don't marry me. That's the idea. Now, let's hear you give some. Joel?
Well, I don't see why you don't marry me. After all, I got a few curves.
Oh! Ah, Joel. That's a dandy. That was right across the plate, so it was. Yes, uh-huh. And, Richard?
Nobody can pinch hit for you.
Oh, attaboy, Richard. That's a dandy. David?
Oh, you're so handsome. Every time I look at you, I go out.
Oh! Patrick?
Well, if you just did him a favor, she could say, She says, I just went up to bat for you, and I won't pitch you any foul balls.
Oh, wonderful. Well, say, that was a lot of fun. I'm sure you gave the girls a lot of fun. Oh, we have some more. David.
You're a hit with me.
You're a hit with me. Patrick.
I'm going to pop the question.
Pop the question. Wonderful. Well, those were all fine. Listen carefully to this rather involved question from Clinton Grimes of Medina, New York. It's about United States presidents and stamps. Take the first and last initials of the president who appears on the 4-cent stamp in the present series, then add a letter between the initials to form a word. All right, the 4-cent stamp. David?
Well, it's James Madison, and that's J-M, and J-M. You can add A, Jam.
Jam. All right, that's the idea. Now, I'll see what we can do with this next one. Take the president who appears on the 10-cent stamp in the present series and add a letter between his first and last initials to spell a word. David?
Henry Tyler. It could be hit or hat or hot.
Oh, wait a minute. What'd you say? Henry Tyler? Is that right?
John Tyler.
John Tyler. That's correct. All right, so...
It would be Jet.
J-T with an E in the middle.
Jet.
Uh-huh. That's very, very good. Now, the current sale of... You folks can applaud if you want. Joel?
Well, it could also be O or Jot.
Yes, that's right, J-O-T. Uh-huh. Thank you very much, Joel. The current sale of Easter seals to help take care of crippled children caused Nina Badenoch of Chicago to think of this question. The following children in literature might have been helped by the sale of Easter stamps. See if you kids can identify two out of three of them. First, a little boy who liked to ride on his father's shoulders because he could not walk without a crutch. Richard?
That's the little Crackett boy.
And what was his name, Richard?
Tom Crackett? Tom Crackett was the Tiny Tim Crackett.
Tiny Tim, that's right. Uh-huh. And what story was that from?
That's Dickens' Christmas Carol.
Christmas Carol, that's right. How about a little girl who was a doll's dressmaker? A little girl who was a doll's dressmaker.
Joe?
Could it be Nellie in the old curiosity shop?
No.
I know it's in a Dickens book.
Well, that's true, but no, that is not the answer to this one. A little girl who was a doll's dressmaker. As a matter of fact, her father was called Mr. Doll. Did you give up on this one? Well, it would be Jenny Wren in Our Mutual Friend by Dickens. She was lame and used crutches. How about a little girl who learned to walk after a goat boy pushed her wheelchair down the Alps? Richard.
That would be Heidi, I believe.
Well.
That wouldn't be It's no. In the book, Heidi.
Yeah, that's right. Well, what's the little girl's name that this happened to? Patrick?
Well, I was just going to say Heidi was written by Siri.
Yes, that's right. Uh-huh. I'm glad you're checking up on me on this now. All right, Richard. David.
Well, was it Dee Dee?
No. No. Her first name was... Did you give up on this? You still have time to say this. Her first name was Clara. Clara was her first name. And Peter, the goat herder, was the one who pushed her wheelchair down the Alps. Her name was Clara Sessaman. Well, we had a miss on that, and that means that we'll have to count that one wrong. So Nina Badnock of Chicago, who sent that question in, wins a big $250 Zenith Radio Phonograph combination from the makers of Alka-Seltzer. 5-year-old Terry Knight of Pomeroy, Ohio, is wondering if you quiz kids read comic books as well as more serious things. And so he sends in this question. If you saw these horses in a comic book, who do you think would be riding them? The first one is Thunder. Patrick.
Well, that's Red Rider.
Red Rider. That's right. How about Topper? Topper. T-O-P-P-E-R. That's the horse's name. What comic book? Or, I mean, what his master is whom? Topper. Joe?
Could it be Texas Slim?
No. No. Joe again.
Utah?
No. Patrick, what were you
going to... King of the Royal Mounted?
No. Sorry. Richard? Topper. Hopalong Cassidy. Yay. Now you know, don't you? All right. See if you can get this next one. Scout. Richard?
Scout would be Tonto's horse.
Tonto's
horse. Ranger.
Well, we have another miss. We'll have to count that one wrong, too. So Alka-Seltzer gives away another big $250 Zenith Radio Phonograph combination to little 5-year-old Terry Knight of Pomeroy, Ohio, who sent that horse question in.
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Margie Zimmerman of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, wants to try you kids out on some good old-fashioned, plain, everyday, simple, down-to-earth arithmetic. Of course, I expect you quiz kids to work this in your heads, but you listeners at home can try it out with paper and pencil if you like. Listen now. Smith gets twice as large a share of the profits as any of his three partners get. What share of the entire profit is his? Now, there is a doozer. Richard?
Well, there are four people, and he gets twice as much as anybody else, so he gets 2/5 out of the five, and, turn that over to Joe, I'm afraid.
Well, now I'm just going to show you something, Joe.
Well, if he gets twice... What do you mean by he gets twice as much as any of them?
I mean just that Smith gets twice as large a share of the profits as any of his three partners get. What share of the entire profit is his?
Let me see. Then, wouldn't his share be 40%?
That's right. Or what
or
Richard just
fifths.
Said. 2/5. That's you were right in the first place, Richard. I just wanted to double check on it, see? See if we can get this next part. If a train is running 3 minutes late and losing 3 seconds per minute, how many more minutes will it take for the train to be running an hour late? David.
1,200 minutes or 200 hours.
No.
About 20 hours.
No, sorry. Joel.
Could you repeat the question, please?
Yes. If a train is running 3 minutes late and losing 3 seconds per minute, how many more minutes will it take for the train to be running an hour late?
Well, let's see. If it moves, loses 3 minutes and 3 seconds... Huh?
Oh.
Could you repeat it again,
Who
please?
Started this, anyway? If a train is running 3 minutes late and losing 3 seconds per minute... How many more minutes will it take for the train to be running an hour late?
I don't understand this.
You don't? Well, I wouldn't either, only I happen to have the answer right here on my card. And, David?
I think it's 1,080 seconds.
No, sorry. That's pretty close, though. Joel, what is it you don't understand, son?
Well, I don't understand what you mean by the phrase 3 seconds per minute.
Well, it's losing 3 seconds per minute.
3 seconds?
It's running 3 minutes late and losing 3 seconds per minute. Patrick?
3,090.
No. No, you give up on this.
I don't understand what you mean by that.
Well, the answer is 1,140 minutes or 19 hours. I'm going to let you look at this after the show's over. And our children will tackle this next question.
Does it have anything to do with nursery rhymes, Joe?
Well, no, Bob, it doesn't, but why?
Well, never mind. I'll just have to get into this on my own. I think I may have found a modern cousin to Little Miss Muffet, Joe. She is Little Miss LaSweet. My, how she loves to eat.
Oh, goody. I'll have some more of this and this and this.
Much more than she should, let's say. Then along came acid indigestion.
Oh, why did I eat so much?
Well, here's a suggestion. Let Alka-Seltzer scare it away. Well, I'm afraid the resemblance to the original is very slight, I agree. But friends, all we ask you to remember is Alka-Seltzer for relief from acid indigestion. Yes, when overeating results in an acid-upset stomach, put Alka-Seltzer on the job and see how soon you begin to feel better. Just drop an Alka-Seltzer tablet or two into a glass of water, listen to it fizz, and then drink it down. You'll discover it goes to work right away to help relieve that upset, uncomfortable feeling in your stomach. Yes, Alka-Seltzer is really fast-acting because it's in solution when you take it, and therefore right ready to help you to the relief you need and want. So try it. You'll agree there's nothing quite like Alka-Seltzer for fast, dependable relief. And when you buy, don't forget that extra package. Yes, an extra package on the side keeps the family well supplied.
And now, before we go on to the next question, I want to refer to the question from Mrs. Margie Zimmerman of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, that we missed, you know, where the train never did reach its destination. She will receive one of the $250 Zenith Radio Phonograph combinations from the makers of Alka-Seltzer for stumping us. Now, Henrietta Long of Seattle, Washington, thought of this question after she had read Quiz Kid Ruthie Duskin's exciting story about Kemi the Magician. And since the question is in the form of chemistry experiments, I've asked Ruthie to perform the experiments right here, and you kids are to explain them. Are you all ready, Ruthie?
Yes, Mr. Kelly.
All right, fine. Ruthie calls this experiment the barking dog trick. She has arranged several tall cylinders of different sizes and placed filter paper over each one. She has poured a solution of white phosphorus in carbon bisulfide on the paper. The filter paper should burst into flame. It will pretty soon now.
Yeah, it'll be ready in a few more seconds.
All right, fine. And then we'll listen for the barking dog after that, see? Are you sure it's going to work, Ruthie?
Well, it should.
Well, don't get too close to it now.
There it goes.
There it is. That was it. The one. There. Oh, another dog.
Here comes another one.
Don't go away, anybody. How's that? That was all right. I wish I had some windshield wipers on my glasses here. All right, now then, the question is, why did that happen? Why did that happen? Joel?
Well, with the phosphorus and the other thing, shouldn't the atmosphere sort of be ignited, and when the air touches the paper, it should burst into flame?
That's on the right track. I don't think you quite have the exact idea of it, but it's pretty near.
David?
Was the phosphorus on, was it on top of the paper or in the tube?
Well, this is filtered paper. I pour it on, some of it remains on top, and some of it goes into the tube.
What about that, David?
Who was the kind of carbon bisulfide and sulfate?
Sulfide.
Sulfide. Bisulfide. Carbon bisulfide. Joel?
Well, aren't they both inflammable? So they rise in the shape of gas, maybe, and when they touch the paper bursts into flame?
How about that?
I don't think she quite has it exactly.
Well, let's see. David has his hand up.
Yeah. Well, I think when the two combine, it's the copper sulfide changes to a free carbon, which burns in the flame.
Well, this isn't a compound. It's just a solution. They don't combine at all.
No, they don't. Yeah.
Well, they don't. Now, Rudy, we know. Well, do we, evidently, we give up on this, or are we going to try again at it? David?
Well, I think the copper sulfide decomposes into...
No. No. Joel?
Well, isn't the air... don't they sort of ignite the air because they're inflammable, and when the rise of the air touches the paper, it bursts into flame?
Well, Joel does have the right idea, but yeah. It's not the... It's not... I mean, he doesn't know it exactly.
Not exactly, no. See? And, David?
Well, you put the carbon sulfate on top of the phosphorus.
Pour it on. Oh, you mean the... it's just a solution. You dissolve it.
Yeah, but it was poured on top of it. It was poured on top of the phosphorus.
Well, it's dissolved together.
Yeah, it's all mixed. Rudy, shall we tell them?
Yeah, when you put the phosphorus and carbon disulfide solution onto the filter paper, part of it goes through and vaporizes and mixes with the air. Part of it remains on top, and the carbon disulfide that remains on top evaporates, leaving the phosphorus, which is inflammable at room temperature, so it bursts into flame and ignites the mixture in the cylinder.
Ruthie, you're right. You're correct.
Thank you, Mr. Kelly.
Well, let's try this next experiment. Now, for this next one, Ruthie will start a fire with water. All right, now here we go. Ruthie is piling up a little mound of zinc dust and ammonium nitrate. And now she is making a crater in the top of the mound. See? Now then, she's dropping a few drops of water on top of the whole thing. Let's see what happens. Watch out now. Stand back. There we are. There she goes. The whole pile is starting to smoke. Now, where are you, kid? Get back. Can you quiz kids explain what took place, David?
There was water that was
The what?
The water was poured on top of the zinc and the ammonium nitrate. Well, the zinc is actually a catalyst, and the ammonium nitrate just bursts into flame when it gets in contact with the water.
How about that, Ruthie?
Well, it isn't the zinc that acts as the catalyst.
Well, I'll tell you, we're going to have to give up. There's the bell. That means that's a miss. It was a lot of fun, though, and thanks a lot, Ruthie. And that also means that Henrietta Long of Seattle, Washington, received one of the big $250 Zenith radio phonograph combinations for stumping the kid again. Well, as usual, the old bell means class is over for today. The judges are already busy totaling up the scores, and they'll have your report cards ready in just a minute. While we're waiting, here's an important message.
Mothers, are you having trouble getting your children and your family to take their vitamins every day? Try giving them one-a-day brand multiple vitamin capsules. Each one-a-day brand multiple capsule contains all the vitamins for which the amount needed for grown-ups and children has been established. What's more, one capsule every day is all they take. And one-a-day brand multiple vitamin capsules are low in cost. A full 2-month supply for only $2. Ask your druggist for one-a-day brand vitamins. Good for growing children and adults. Remember, for vitamins the easy way, for vitamins the thrifty way, the brand you want is one a day.
And now then, quiz kids, the judges have handed me in their report, and here's the scoring on today's classroom session. Of course, you children want to remember the win or lose. You all receive a $100 savings bond from the makers of Alka-Seltzer to help you with your future education. And now here's the verdict. The judges say our entire class missed 4 questions this afternoon. Richard is first, David second, and Pat and Joel tied for 3rd. That means you 4 will be back in class next week, along with Lonnie Lundy, age 11. We hope all you listeners will plan to be with us, too, next Sunday. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Joe Kelly dismissing the Quiz Kids class. Goodbye, kids.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.